find us a brand new recipe.
And that's our cue. This is Cooking Fish with Fish and Frank, Pastor Donnie. And tonight's special guest is Captain Kale. And
I'm special again.
This morning's special guest, or this afternoon's, or this evening's, or it's really hard to say where that all goes. But anyway, for all of you out in radio land, whenever you happen to be listening, thank you for tuning in. Today we're going to get into a little bit about Spanish mackerel, because this is a wonderful fish, but not if you freeze it.
Yeah, true. Right.
And this is a wonderful fish, but it's a little oily. This is a wonderful fish, but you got to eat it the same day you catch it.
Yep.
And, you know, it's one of those weird kind of things that, you know.
I was wondering how long you was going to let the music play. Go ahead, Frank.
Well, I actually have it off on the tape. You guys were the only ones hearing it. I'm still a little scattered, you know.
I get it.
You know, still trying to get all my buttons and knobs in the right place. But I did push these buttons.
So I've seen that one. We got a green, red, or green, yellow, red?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
So when the yellow light goes off, we only got 30 seconds left.
30 seconds at the yellow light.
So anyway, Spanish mackerel, and this is a real radio show, contrary to popular opinion. These are fish that like the warmer waters. And so we get them usually quite a bit in the spring, quite a bit in the summer, and in the fall. But when we get a lot of, we're down in Southwest Florida, and we get a lot of what we call snowbirds, people who fly south for the winter and then go back up for the summers up there. And if they get lucky, they get to, depending on the weather conditions, if the mackerel are still here. But right now, we've got a lot of them. And they like to hang out in the passes, wherever you got a lot of moving water, and they chase bait fish a lot. These are very aggressive feeders that are a true schooling fish. If you see one, you're going to see 1,000 of them.
And they're called pelagic fish. That's a fish that swims throughout its entire life, long distances. They have to keep that energy up, so they're a constant feeder also.
And they eat and eat and eat.
Now, there's three, right? There's a king mackerel. There's a Spanish mackerel and a Creole mackerel, right?
Cyril.
Cyril, sorry. Yeah. Cyril mackerel. Cyril is very
C-E-R-O.
Small.
C-E-R-O.
Oh, yeah. Like
Cyril.
Cyril. Yeah.
Not cereal.
Well, I was thinking cereal.
It's
Captain
not
Crunch
Frosted
is really
Flakes.
Doing me good. Huh?
It's not Frosted Flakes.
Well, I was going with Captain Crunch.
Cyril.
I love the berries.
Okay. I'm a life guy. I don't know why I like that.
You grew up in the 50s?
I grew in the... Well, yeah. I grew up when they were first inventing cereal.
You had oatmeal and you had life.
Yeah, you know.
I get
so,
it.
You know, actually,
Cheerios. You might have Cheerios.
Cornflakes were first. That was the first cereal invented.
Interesting.
Yes.
Actually, the story of cornflakes, we're not going to get in on that.
Cornflakes were invented for a sanitarium, which was actually a health farm.
Okay, you know? Actually, we are going to get into that. All right.
But, no, I'm just saying that.
It wasn't
that
a cereal when they were created.
Yeah, it was.
Not cornflakes. It was an oops.
It was basically a soupy mix. And they fried it. And so. But anyway, let's see. Spanish mackerel, very quick. They love anything bright and shiny, but they have a lot of teeth.
Yes.
Mouthful of scalpels.
So if you're out there fishing for them and you're using like 20, 30-pound monofilament for leaders, you're going to get a fish on, then your fish is gone.
Yep.
And what's funny is, the fish that you hooked is not the one that caused you him to break off.
That's right.
Because he's on the hook.
Yeah.
But he's shaking his head. He's going crazy, and he's dancing around like a madman.
Sure.
And
he may have a piece of that bait hanging out the side of his mouth.
He probably has a buddy next to him.
You may have used a swivel to connect your leader to your main line. That's creating a
especially
bubble trail.
Especially a silver swivel.
Yeah, that's even worse. Now you've got something shiny creating a bubble trail.
And that all his buddies are looking, going,
yeah.
You know, and I really tell people my true belief is fish have as much fun in a catch and release as we do catching and releasing them. I mean, let's face it, it's a pretty boring life otherwise. You know, you're hanging out there in the water, not much going on, and then all of a sudden, wow, and they're thrashing and they get so excited. And let's face it, if you have people in the other room and they're having a really good time or they're hurting each other, it's really hard to tell the difference from the noises.
And you might as well go to find out.
You know what I mean? Yep. So, I don't want to look. Either way, I don't want to know. But with fish, it's the same way. They get really excited. They start thrashing their head. They're all, you know, feeding. And it attracts all the other ones around to them. And it's the ones swimming in the same school that are breaking you off. Yep. They're the ones that are cutting your leader, biting the swivel, and all that. So
now, we're not saying you can't catch it with mono. It's just more and more difficult. You're going to hit one, probably lose about 10.
I actually have a pretty good strategy to catching them.
There you go.
On monofilament / fluorocarbon leader. You want to see them frothing at the surface. Not an occasional one jumping here, one jumping there. You want to see the top of the water white with froth from all of them feeding at once. Then you can get away with catching them on monofilament or fluorocarbon because they're not watching what each other's eating.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty much ingrained right on that one specific bait fish that they're going to eat. They're not paying attention to their buddies. And you can catch quite a bit of them on mono or fluorocarbon, either one. But when it's just a couple skyrocketing out of the water here and there, I want steel.
Now, side note, there's ladyfish in that school, too.
Sometimes there is.
That's a nuisance. There is a nuisance there, but they're great fun.
A very fun nuisance.
Yeah, fun nuisance.
Very fun nuisance.
It's very bloody when you get them on a boat. I don't like it.
I don't like bringing them
but
on the boat.
But they're great bait.
Well, they give great you bait. An opinion of you when they get on the boat.
Yes. And it's they either
ladyfish expresses its opinion
quickly
through bodily function.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
either
yeah.
poop all over the boat.
Yeah.
They bleed all over the boat.
Or both.
Or they get slime all over the boat.
Or all three.
Not very ladylike.
No.
What? Completely wrong name fish. Completely wrong name fish.
I want to lean okay, but off air, I want to disagree.
Yeah, we don't want to. We're going to agree with
them. Yeah, we're going to agree on air. On the air, yeah, we're going to agree with them.
Unladylike.
Yes. So anyway, so we have an interesting. I've never used it. I've been using carbon fiber or occasionally a steel wire. I throw my spoon out. Get a lot of action. I've caught a lot of mackerels, a lot of Spanish mackerels. One king. Very impressive king. Had a great time with him. I didn't like the taste of him. Now I'll throw those back typically.
And that's why most people smoke kingfish.
Yes.
Here's the big thing about it. I don't like the flavor of bonnet sharks. My dad, you know, he always loved bonnet sharks.
I love them.
And I know people absolutely love the taste of king mackerel.
Yep.
Here we're dealing with flavor issues, not edibility issues.
That's
king mackerel is very edible. Spanish, Ciro's.
Well,
but
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because most people smoke them.
But all
I can
I'm
smoke
saying
a flip-flop and make it taste good.
Yeah. So all I'm saying
not
is
after,
that it's an edible fish. You know, it's just do you like the flavor or not? Because
right.
I don't like the flavor of bluefish either. And I've got a buddy who thinks it's the best fish
is
ever.
Is he from New Jersey?
Yes. So.
That's why.
Yeah,
that's
I probably know, but yeah, all I'm saying is, you know, don't take, okay, I don't like the flavor of this as if it's good or bad. Some people love strawberries. Some people hate the taste of strawberries.
But king mackerel is good fish. It's just not one I enjoyed to eat.
Now, Spanish mackerel is somewhat similar in the effect that a lot of people, they catch a Spanish mackerel. Now, we're talking about that. I'll go into this, but we got a new steel. It's out from American Fishing Wire.
Ah.
Now, the company's called AFW, American Fishing Wire.
Makes sense.
And what they have is a steel leader that you can tie the same knots and the same leader setup as if it was fluorocarbon.
Yep.
You don't have to use crimps or
swivels.
Nothing. If you can tie it with fluorocarbon, you can tie it with the steel leader.
Yes, sir.
Now, the one weird part about the steel leader is the thinner it is, like the 20-pound test, is much more expensive than the 60-pound test.
Well, that's because it's drawn-out steel. The further you draw out steel,
the more expensive it gets.
And this stuff,
it starts out thick and has to be made thinner.
Right.
So each step down is another process through the machines, time,
absolutely,
labor, money.
And not only on top
everything
of that,
else, the smallest stuff is the least expensive.
Right.
And this is the opposite.
With this stuff, this is 7x7 wire. This is 7 strands of 7 strand wire braided together.
No, and 20, it's still yet very thin.
The 26-pound that I have in my hand is probably the diameter of, I would say, maybe 15-pound test monofilament.
I was
going to
say 15 monofilament, yeah. Maybe 20 tops.
Yeah, I was kind
of
looking at
20. I don't even think it's that thick. And that's 49 strands of wire.
All compressed down.
All compressed down.
That's just
and
crazy.
It's plastic coated. Half your thickness is coming from the plastic coating.
Exactly.
That's crazy. This is, but, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time I'm seeing this, by the way.
What's really cool about this is if you tie a uni to uni knot leader, yep. Or you tie an Albright or however you tie your leader on, this works.
It works well. The only thing that you have to remember, if you're tying it to braided line, to tighten down the knot on the leader side first and bring the braid knot to it. If you tighten the braid knot down, it bites into the plastic, and then the other knot can't move.
Okay.
So you do have to make sure you cinch down the leader side first with braided line.
Okay.
So anyway, we've tied our steel leader on small spoons, jigs. Usually what I recommend throwing for Spanish mackerel is a lure you don't like.
Something shiny and cheap.
Yeah. The cheaper it is, the shinier it is, the more mackerel you'll catch.
Yep.
If you really, hardcore, I want to get them, a gotcha lure is probably the best. Any spoon I like.
Gator spoons.
I like Johnson Sprites. You name it. But if I was going to pick one lure for Spanish mackerel, it would be a gotcha. It's the old head and jerk jigger,
sure.
That was sold to Sea Striker, and now they call it a gotcha. But it's probably the best of the Spanish mackerel lures. But the one thing about it is, no matter how well we prepare the steel leader, whatever, the other ones in the school tend to try and bite through whatever it is we have on.
Absolutely.
So,
By the way, you can do these two different ways that I've done with the Spanish mackerel. If you get into the nice school of them, kind of like what you were talking about, they're frothing. You can lock in there and just cast over them. Bring the reel through, or bring the spoon through them, and then just bring it to the boat. Or trolling. Trolling works, not at a real low speed, though. I have noticed that if you get up around 6 to 8 miles an hour, that's where they like it. They kind of like to swim.
Definitely.
To go get their bait.
And
so
I
if
like,
you're just kind of putting through there, it's not going to really get it.
But I like to work a school of Spanish mackerel several different ways, and I do that to pick up different fish.
Yep.
Is if you have all of these Spanish mackerel up on
there's
the surface,
be something else there.
They're taking chunks. They don't always get the whole fish.
Yep.
Well, they don't have fingers.
So right.
Whatever they swallow, they got to, take
right.
a bite and swallow it. So if they bite all the way through the middle of a bait fish, the front part and back part fall out. So the birds are there picking up on what floats. So you get
right.
these bird nados over the top yep. of them.
Yes.
First thing you always want to look for is a big flock of birds all hovering over the
yep.
water.
Yep.
Because that's probably Spanish mackerel, because they're very messy eaters. Mm-hmm. They can't hold it with their fingers and chew the whole thing. So picture you eating a hot dog, and you got to reach down. You take a bite out of the middle, and the other pieces
don't
fall away.
Don't use your hands.
Yeah, no hands.
You just try and eat it off the plate with your face.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. You're going to make a mess.
And so some are drifting down, some are floating up,
and
all
what
these
sits
pieces.
Underneath them eating those scraps this time of year? That's a good way to pick up triple tail.
Sharks. Triple tail.
Interesting.
You name it can be underneath them cleaning up that mess.
I mean, every fish in the world who doesn't want to work hard for a meal just
right.
lays out under the Spanish mackerel.
So if you want to get down there, throw on the other side of them with a spoon,
yep.
let it drop down, right?
Now, the secret to that is counting.
Counting.
Because you're going to cast it, and as it goes through the air, when you see the splash on the water,
there
count
you go.
To 4,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. Then start
now
working that
spoon.
Now
you're under
back.
And don't do it fast. Gradual.
But we comb. Don't know that we're under it. If you're still catching mackerel at 4, count to 6.
There you go.
Now, the reason for the counting is so you know where to go again. If you just throw it out, go, okay. And it's kind of like I'm a bass player, and I hate drummers who don't count a stop. Because then I just feel the stop. Well, he never starts at the same time.
Yeah.
If you, count 1, 2, 3, 4, you start at the same time everybody does. So it's the same thing with this. If you know the fish are down, see the splash, count to 6, than you catching, like, say, triple tail or king mackerel,
yep,
or trout,
yep,
or something that would be hanging below there,
yep,
you know you're deep enough. And you can do it time and time
and
again.
And I'll even do it before I cast. I'll drop it off the back of the boat and count until the line quits.
Well, that's to see how deep it is.
Yep.
Yeah. But then so, I know, okay, I've got a 10 count to be on the bottom.
Yep.
I'll throw it out past them, count to 10. I know I'm on the bottom.
Come back.
You know, actually, I'd count to 9 and start reeling. I don't want to be on the bottom.
And a nice little steady. You don't have to jerk it. You don't have to go this or that with it.
It's just actually...
Walk the dog. Come back.
Just a quick reel.
Yeah.
You don't... The slower you go, the less fish you're going to catch.
I'm talking about those guys that get it out there and spin it back real quick. Well, now you just brought that right back up toward the top.
With a spoon, yeah.
Yep. Yep. So you want to walk it back in a nice little steady pace.
I use pompano jigs a lot, by the way.
Which one?
Pompano. Because I can get a half-ounce jig that's very small.
I love pompano.
And the pompano jigs are tiny. I can throw them out, get them underneath other schools. But it's small, like a glass minnow would be, or a piece of bait. If you get a great big jig, it's too big. They're not looking for that.
Yep.
Right.
They're looking for these little pieces. So I want something small and heavy. And I'll use a Castmaster spoon instead of like a Johnson Sprite because it's got a different shape. It'll stay down a little better.
Yep.
But these are the reason we count so we can do it again.
There you go.
It allows you to know where the lure was in the water when you were hooking which fish. You know, if you count to 2 and you're getting Spanish mackerel, you count to 4, you're getting Spanish, and all of a sudden you count to 5 and you're getting something else.
Yes.
Well, you might want to try 6 the next time, see if there's even something different.
Yep. Now, I've got a question for you. Now we got the Spanish mackerel. We hooked him. We got him to the boat. What are you going to do with him, Frank?
All right. I don't like bleeding fish.
Okay.
It's not...
Me neither.
I'm not a big one for that. I go back to more basic physics.
I see.
And when you die of hypothermia, I want to have a cooler full of ice, preferably with a little water in it. And I take the fish off the hook and I put them in the ice slurry, water and ice.
Yep.
Yep.
And that fish is still alive. Now, as you know, I'm from the northern state. So when you die from cold, you go to sleep.
That's right.
And all of the blood from your extremities, your muscles, all goes in to protect your heart and your brain. So you're actually bleeding the fish out way more efficiently. You've reduced 90% of the fishy taste and left a bit of the fish flavor.
And killed them slowly. So with these active fish, you're also letting the chemicals come out of the blood, too. Your lactic acid buildup, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So in other words, tastier fish.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the way I do it.
Cutting their throat and doing all these things, it's cool if you're a little gory person, but it's actually better, tastier to just put them in the ice water, and you'll get a much better flavor out of the fish.
It's not as messy. There's not as hard to mess up with. And it does make a difference. I've done that ever since. I'm from West Virginia.
Right.
You know, we have a wintertime up there, snow. When we kill our large game, it's in the wintertime. You know why?
Sure.
Preserves the meat. It slows down the heart rate. Your meat just tastes better. Your deer don't taste as gamey. When you do it that way, you don't have to let them bleed out on the other stuff. No, just stop.
Hang them out on the back porch.
That's right.
So slow the number one thing is we've got them and we let them expire on the ice.
Yep.
So when we get back to the dock, I'm going to fillet them.
And that's the other nice thing about the ice. Spanish mackerel, trout are known to be mushy fish.
Mm.
And putting them in that ice water helps toughen up the meat some and makes them easier to fillet.
So here's the secret. You're going to fillet them just like you would any other fish. Make a cut behind the head. Let your knife go down to the backbone. Turn it and cut it back towards the tail. Flop it over, take the meat off the skin.
Simple and easy.
Here's the secret to it. If you do that, you're going to end up with bones in it. They're on the belly fin, or closer to the anal fin. There's little bones that attach that fin to the meat.
Yep.
You got to make a little semicircle cut around that, and then you have no bones in the fish. Because I go down and let my knife ride fairly close to the backbone, and then I come over, I cut the meat off the skin. But before I do that, I want to make little notches about a quarter inch in around each of the belly fins. Because there's little tiny bones that stick up into the fish that hold them on.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones I always would get when I eat mackerel. And when I finally figured out, you just got to kind of scoop those out. Now, we've only got a couple minutes left for the recipe. And this one is the most simple of all. We've caught our fish, let them expire on ice. We filleted them out nice. We made our scoops by the belly fins to eliminate those last bit of bones. So we got these beautiful fillets. Just wash them off. And when I'm done fishing, I fire up the grill. Now, I'm just going to take butter. Now, I use that Fleischmann's olive oil margarine because I really like that. I love the flavor of it.
Okay.
But you can use whatever butter, margarine, whatever you like. But just do it like you were going to heavily butter a piece of toast. And then I take the McCormick lemon and herb seasoning, and I just sprinkle that around on that side, and then I put that side down on a hot grill.
Okay.
And right on the bars, I don't put tinfoil or anything. I just put it right on the bars, hoping it's going to flame up a little bit from the butter melting on it.
Right.
And I put my fillets out like that, and it's very quick because brown on one side, they're done. Now, I'm going to butter the other side as quick as I can, and I'm using a butter knife. I mean, okay. I'm putting butter on. Okay. And then I just sprinkle more lemon and herb seasoning on there. And what's really cool, brown on both sides, done. But it's one of the few fish that I want three fish per two people. Now, with you and your wife, Donnie, I'm going to recommend five.
Well, she's small. She's 4'10".
Yeah, but
I want to eat her.
She's little, but
yeah.
She's eating at the same table with you, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, but for, you know, me and my wife, we're not big eaters, so, but it's one where usually we each get one fillet. She will eat a mackerel and a half.
Wow, that's awesome.
And that's with the hush puppies and the, you know, the coleslaw and all that kind of stuff because it's so tasty. And don't overdo the seasonings. Now, if you put them in a bowl of ice water overnight, you can sort of maintain that. The problem is if you use tap water, they pick up that chlorine taste.
Yes. Yep.
So if you want to try and keep them overnight, and then you're going to put them in that cold water, it's got to be distilled water.
Okay, interesting.
And because...
In a glass bowl.
Yeah, in a glass bowl, distilled water. The problem with it is they're very susceptible to any other flavors in the water. So distilled works good to keep them over to the next day. But now we're talking a real pain in the butt here.
Right. So
eat them that day.
Catch and eat it.
If you freeze them and you're going to eat them at a later date, you really don't like fish.
No.
You really, and you're going to get it. It's going to be a little mushy. It's not going to be really wonderful.
And the strange thing is that mackerel get a name for not being a good eating fish. And I think it's because people try to do too much to the mackerel. The less you do to it, the better it tastes.
Like I say, two ingredients, butter, and I use the lemon herb seasoning.
I buy a garlic and herb flavored olive oil.
Right.
And coat them with that and throw them on the grill. And I love them.
And that's a great way to do it, too. Because it's kind of the same thing.
I'm
using
much.
The butters and oil. Right. And the only difference is that I don't do the garlic. I do the lemon. I like the lemon herb. And you like the garlic herb.
I like garlic.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Kel. To me, just butter and garlic. But I do have a lemon seasoning that I can also sprinkle on top of it. Also, one of these days, you ought to try a little bit of hickory. A hickory smoke on top of that. Just the butter and a
little
bit of
the hickory. The wife doesn't do the smoke. I'd have to
do
it on mine.
Yeah, it does pretty good. It's interesting.
So, see, it's flashing.
We're flashing. Flashing means go?
One of my new toys.
Does flashing mean go? What does flashing mean? I know what
yellow means. Flashing means we have less than a minute left.
Oh, less than a minute, yeah. All right.
So, we're not down to the 30-second mark.
We're
not done. Why don't you say grace so that we can actually enjoy this mackerel?
That sounds great. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day and Father, for all your provisions in our life, it is through you that all things are possible. And Father, we ask you to bless our food and bless our drinks and nurse these things to our body and our body to become your service. And Father, forgive us for where we have failed you. And we lift up those to you that are in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, all I can tell you, boys and girls, is I actually started the music on time to do an outro. This is Fish and Frank, and that's Pastor Donnie, and our guest today was Captain Kale, and thanks for listening.
Outro? Yes, outro.
We call it outro?